I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the New Testament book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2 with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Often when people announce subjects or meetings or whatever the case may be, many people listening to that exclude themselves. Years ago, we used to conduct what we called children's workers meetings, and someone would say, well, I'm not a children's worker, so that's not for me. And then we would say, we're having a bus ministry workers meeting, and someone would say, well, I'm not a bus ministry worker, so that's not for me. So we started saying, we're just going to have a workers meeting. Pity the poor people who said, that's not for me. But I want to preach a little message to you on the Bible teacher, the Bible teacher. And I don't want any of you saying, that's not for me. All of us have the Word of God, and all of us should know the Word of God. All of us should memorize the Word of God. All of us should meditate on the Word of God. All of us should search the Word of God. All of us could compare Scripture with Scripture to interpret the Word of God. And all of us can teach the Word of God. You say, Pastor, are some people gifted, more gifted than others? Of course. Of course. But all of us can teach the Bible. If you have your Bible open to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Word of God says, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I want you to mark that last expression, one we're very familiar with in the second verse of 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Able to teach others also. Able to teach others also. As a matter of fact, if you condensed everything we ought to be doing in Christian service to one expression, this would be the expression. I say that again. If we condensed everything we ought to be doing in Christian service, in Christian ministry, to one expression, it would be this expression. Able to teach others also. I don't think anyone should play the piano without teaching other people how to play. I don't think anyone should do anything without trying to teach someone else how to do it. But we're talking about the Bible teacher. The Bible teacher. Now, we have probably, I haven't counted, but probably at least 280 to 300 Bible classes that people teach in our church. We have Bible classes that are taught in our schools. Many Bible classes taught in our schools. We have 160 Bible classes taught during the week in what we call the second coming of the Sunday school. That's just an expression that I started using because it comes first on the Lord's Day, and we have the Bible, and we have full-length books written on subjects in the Bible, and student guides to use those books, and teachers' guides to use those materials. And so we take what has been done here on the Lord's Day, and we teach it during the week. Many people who could not get here, some who would not get here, are in those Bible classes. If you combined everybody taught in our Bible classes in a week's time, that's about 5,000 people. We don't talk about that much. The Sunday school differs from the second coming of the Sunday school, but if you add it all together, that's about what's going on. And I think that's the first time I've ever given that total in a public place like this, because I don't want people coming here with high expectations and be terribly disappointed. I really don't. But I do want to put this emphasis where it needs to be placed, and that is that all of us who know the Lord and know His Word, you say, I'll only know the Word so well just to this point. You can teach what you know, not what you don't know. So we're dealing with the Bible teacher. The Bible teacher. Before we really get into the heat of this, I want you to hold your place here and turn with me to the book of Hebrews just for a moment. Would you please? In Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This is a verse about the Bible. The Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We'll talk in a moment about what we're trying to see happen in the lives of people as we handle the Word of God. There are people sitting here listening to me who said, "I once taught, I will never teach again." Don't let me hear you say that. It just puts me to work, and I have to say, you're not going to do that. You can't quit. The need is too great. The time is too short. The labors are too few. Amen. Get in it with all your heart. Look what the writer of Hebrews penned in the 5th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There's so much to be said about that passage. Ought to be teaching, yet someone needs to teach you. But notice the last part of the 14th verse. The Bible says, as we use the Word of God, as we apply the Word of God, as we obey what we hear and put into use what we know God says, the Bible says that our discernment increases. May I give you a little warning? We're living in an age full of deceit and confusion. The most dangerous thing with which we deal is the thing that looks like the truth, nearest the truth, but it's not the truth. It wears religious garments. It talks even about some form of Christianity that is not biblical Christianity. And it's not the truth. And many people with little or no discernment are caught up in all of that. The critics say of Americans that they know well what happened the last 24 hours, but have little idea of what happened in the last 24 centuries of the human race. And our churches are being swept away off course by what we call contemporary things in a contemporary movement. And one of the great reasons for that is that people have so little discernment. Just to make myself perfectly clear, I don't believe it's a pastor's responsibility to stand at the intersections of life and tell everybody which way to go. Sorry. I don't mind doing that, but for the same reason I don't believe in being a dictator, because the individual priesthood of every believer, I believe God can speak to you and guide your life and guide your family. I really believe that. And I don't think I'm responsible to stand somewhere at some life intersection and say, "Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that," to everyone. I believe you can know the mind of God and obey the Lord without some religious boss being over you night and day telling you what to do. The Lord wants His children to mature and grow and develop so that they know before God, this is what the Lord would have me to do, and I'm going to ask Him for the grace and strength to do it. You say, "Well, I'm not going to be responsible enough to teach the Bible to anyone. I just don't want to get involved in that." Well, there are many things you're going to miss. We could give a long list. The blessing that comes, the friendships, the knowledge you glean, many things. But one of the great losses is you're going to be a person that does not have the discernment that you ought to have to discern the times in which we live and to understand what the devil is doing in deceiving people. Many people with whom I speak, some young, some old, are engaged in something they've given their heart to that is as far removed from biblical Christianity as night is from day. And they just don't seem to be able to know the difference. A Bible teacher would not be caught up in all of that. A true Bible teacher. Get off the fads. Get in the Word. May God help us. May God help us. Now, I'm going to give you just two or three things to write down, but not yet. You can write some of these things down if you want to consider them, but I want to just lay a little foundation here. I want you to know that God designed us so that He could communicate with us and we could communicate with Him. That's the way God designed us. That's the way He put us together. The Lord made us spirit, soul, and body. There you sit, whoever you may be, whomever you are, you're just sitting there, but you're spirit, soul, and body. I'm spirit, soul, and body. In my spirit, I have a conscience. The conscience is not to be my guide. It's sort of an aid to life that God gives us, a policeman to blow the whistle, but you can train your conscience to do things and accept things that aren't good. You can actually sear your conscience to harden it so it's no longer a conscience void of offense. It's been pushed and trained and seared so that it doesn't feel and sense like it once sensed things. But in our spirit, we have a conscience. If we've been born again, the Lord lives in our spirit. We have a soul. In our soul, we have intellect, emotion, and will. And in our body, we have five senses, our gates. And things enter those gates. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed us so that He could communicate with us. And He has desire in that communication. All truth begins with God. All instruction that's right begins with God. And there is, I believe, in the heart of God a desire for that transfer of truth to take place from God and God's Word into the hearts and minds of His children. And that's where a Bible teacher comes in. We don't take the place of God, the Holy Spirit. We don't take the place of God. I am not here to say, look, I'm God, this is what I say, you do what I say. If you ever catch me preaching that way, someone speak to me after the service and say, I think you crossed the line. It's my responsibility to guide you to God and for all of us to be followers, true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to just be used of God to help you make the journey to the Lord and to find out what God wants you to do. That's the way the Lord's designed it. I've been given responsibility by the Lord as a preacher of the gospel, called of God, and also invited and called to be the pastor of this church to take the role of leadership as a pastor, as a shepherd. But remember that you can be a leader without being a shepherd, but you cannot be a shepherd without being a leader. And so the primary obligation is not to try to lead, it's to be the shepherd God wants me to be. And as a shepherd, I lead, because there are many men who have taken the role just like it's a business role, pastoring churches, and there's no shepherd heart in them. That's for the Lord to deal with about, not me. But a great part of that is teaching the Bible. Teaching the Bible. As a matter of fact, when you've heard someone teach and preach, you ought to be able to leave saying, the Lord spoke to my heart, and you ought to be able to say, this is what that person said. It'll be given in clarity. Now, I realize I've said a lot, but I want you to understand that the Bible teacher is laboring with the Lord. The Bible teacher is laboring with the Lord, knowing that God has designed us to be instructed. Let me give you some things to make note of. We have many Bible verses we recommend people memorize. Here's one of them in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. If you'll turn there, please. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, this is God's invitation to us. And he says to us, come. Imagine that. He sent out this divine invitation. He says, come. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God says, come. Now, why would the Lord say, come, if he couldn't communicate with us and we could not communicate with him? If we've been born of his Spirit, there should be an understanding of spiritual things. The great goal in the Christian life is to develop the mind of Christ so that we make right decisions. You and I are going to make decisions, but they may not always be right decisions. The great goal is to use Bible principles that we've learned, truth that we know that is changeless. Just as the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not, to take the truth of God's word and Bible principles and to live a life choosing the right way, making the right decisions, because we know this is the right way because we've been taught this from the Word of God and we can teach others. As a matter of fact, the Lord says that fathers and mothers should teach their children in a way so their children don't just stop with getting what their fathers and mothers say. They should be able to teach their children also. That's God's design. It is biblical Christianity. And that's a term I want us to try to revive. Biblical Christianity. Because unbelievers are trying to fashion a type of Christianity that is not biblical, that is not Christ-centered, and therefore has no authority. And may God help us. Turn with me to the gospel according to John, would you please? In John chapter 5 and verse 39, this is another one of those wonderful verses about the Word, just like Hebrews chapter 4, and we found a moment ago. In verse 39 of John chapter 5, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Our Lord speaking, they are they which testify of me. You see, we are people of the book, the Bible. We're talking about teaching the Bible. And the Bible is God's revelation of himself. God reveals himself in Scripture. It's a book about God. The person to whom we look and believe and found our lives on is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know him through the Scriptures. Look again, if you would, please. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, how can we develop that mind of Christ? I've said so many times, I feel badly repeating it, but often people say to me about their teenagers, I don't like her boyfriend, or I don't like his girlfriend. And I say to them, well, I'll help you pray, but they have the boyfriend they want. Well, he's not a very nice boy, Pastor. Well, I say, but they have the one they want. Well, she's not a very nice girl, Pastor, and she may or may not be. I'm just listening to a parent speak. But she's the one he wants. And he will stay with that kind of girl, or she will stay with that kind of boy until they think differently. And so how do we affect all of that? How do we help these people we know and love make right decisions? We must have a Bible teacher that teaches them the Word of God, not just throw it at them, line upon line, precept upon precept. And the Bible must be something that is internalized. In other words, we make that a part of our lives, a part of our being. It is the authoritative, clear, with clarity, Word of God. It comes from a Bible teacher. We need Bible teachers to teach our children, to teach our older children, to teach teenagers, to teach married couples. We need Bible teachers in nursing homes and senior residences where people have gotten to the end of the journey and don't know the Lord and don't know the Word of God. We need Bible teachers who will point them to the Word of God and therefore point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in Him and Him alone. When we talk about the exclusivity of salvation, we talk about there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Understand that? And people say, well, how can you believe in that exclusivity of salvation and believe there's salvation only in Jesus Christ and still believe in religious liberty, individual soul liberty? Because no one can be forced to become a Christian. No one can be forced to live the Christian life. It is a response of that human being to God as God deals with that person. But it is absolutely necessary, essential, vital, any word you want to use, for them to hear the Word of God. They must hear the Word of God. We need Bible teachers. I think if someone says he or she is a Bible teacher in this world, that could be the greatest title you ever have attached to your life. A Bible teacher. Developing the mind of Christ. Oh, may the Lord help me. May God help me. Let's go back to where we started. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Nothing taught will violate what the Bible teaches, but the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How can we get that in people? We must have a Bible teacher. A Bible teacher. Now, in 2 Timothy, we began with chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. There, therefore, my son, be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. I want you to circle that little word, able, who shall be able to teach others also. And I want you to write these things down and do it quickly, please. Help me. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If we are able to teach the Bible, we must first be awakened to teaching the Bible. We must be awakened. If you've been born of God's Spirit, He lives in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. I remember someone coming to me and saying, I want you to teach as an assistant teacher in the church. I never taught anybody the Bible. I had everything so mixed up. I don't know, Brother Hagin. You remember Brother Hagin, my dear pastor, my first pastor. He was such a prince of a man. And he said, well, Clarence, you can do this. Well, you know, I had David in the lion's den and Daniel with Bathsheba and the Holy Spirit after you got saved sometime. It's the biggest mess you ever heard in your whole life. And I really did. I didn't know the Old Testament and the New Testament, but he wanted me to start somewhere. And one of the chief families in the church, and all these churches have chief families. Any of you chief families? But all of these chief families, and the children most of the time want to be chiefs instead of braves, had a son in this chief family that I was supposed to help. And he let it be known far, wide, and loudly that he didn't want me helping him. And Evelyn said to me, I remember it as well as if it happened this morning. Thank God it didn't happen this morning. But I remember as well as it happened this morning, Evelyn said to me, now, honey, and that's a sweet word, isn't it? Now, honey, you've got to make up your mind if you're going to serve the Lord for people or you're going to serve the Lord for the Lord. No one ever said that to me before. I imagine she got it from her mother. But that's what she said to me. So I marched into that class and said, I'm going to be your assistant. The pastor says so. Well, I've already told the pastor I didn't want you. Now, that's a warm welcome if I ever heard one in my life. But that's the way it started. Something had to happen inside of me to overcome that. I had to have an awakening. Here it is, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul is writing to his young son in the ministry, Timothy. And he says, stir it up, son. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. If we're going to appeal to people teaching the Bible, there ought to be a flame burning brightly, a fire stirred up. I mean something inside, a passion about the thing. You say, I'm not that kind of person. I'm saying you can be that kind of person. Yes, you can. God lives in you. Don't you think God's able to do that? And you know what? When we say, I can't, we think that's humility. That's not humility. That's pride. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. I say, I just can't do that. I'm not capable. I can't do that. I'm just God's humble servant. No, you're proud. You're full of yourself. And you've measured yourself to the task, and you think you can't do it. But whatever measurement you've made, if it even comes up less than what it ought to be, it's not our business to try to accomplish God's work in the energy of the flesh. It's our business to come to our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. Move mightily in my life. Stir me up. I remember when I was preaching at the First Baptist Church in Friendsville, Tennessee. That sounds like quite a place, doesn't it? I was called to come to the pulpit, and I had my little notes, you know, and my little Bible, my little Holman Bible I had, and had my little notes. And, of course, it was the authorized King James Version, and my pastor taught me some things, and I had my little note cards, and I was just struggling along, trying to do the best I could, almost like giving a speech and trying to memorize everything. And right in the middle of it, I said, God, I need you. That's the first time in my life I sensed the filling of the Holy Spirit. I said to my wife after that meeting was over, God came on me in a mighty way. I give him the glory. I found out something in this church tonight that I don't have to ever try to do this by myself again. I found out something tonight when I was up there trying to teach and preach the Bible that God will enable me if I'll trust Him. And I did. I found it out. And you can find it out. If you're going to be a Bible teacher, jump in. Get in the water that's over your head. Make a fool out of yourself. I mean it. Fail. Fall flat on your face. But get stirred up. Stirred up. Be awakened to this great need. The truth of the matter is, we don't have enough ability to even teach our own children. They're 4 or 5 years old. God, enables us. There must be an awakening if we're going to be able to teach others also. Then we must be examples. Think of that. Examples. I don't think that if you're a Bible teacher, you ought to live like the devil, do you? Anybody believe that? We ought to be examples. Let me show you what the Bible says. This is so important, so very important to all of us to be an example. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, would you please? And by the way, I've said more to people, including my children, by my behavior than I ever have by my words. I talked and prayed with my youngest son today, and he said, Dad, more and more the longer I live, the smarter you are. I said to his mother after I got off the phone, I didn't want to discourage him, it's about time he understood that. He was just being kind. I hope truthful. But we lead by example. We teach by example. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. The Bible teacher must be an example of the believers, not just a believer, but an example of believers. And he gives this wonderful list in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine, the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The Bible teacher ought to be an example. You see, well, what about saying, maybe there's a little price I should pay? What? There are things you ought not let go through your eye gate, ear gate, if you're going to be a Bible teacher. There are things that ought not be going into your body that defile it, if you're going to be a Bible teacher. There are people and places you should not be identified with if you're going to try to be an example in Bible teaching. And we can be more specific. But to be able to teach others also, we ought to be examples. You see, we live in a day of such laxity. Just like our dear friend Dr. Sells said, we spell casual today, S-L-O-P-P-Y. What about the Bible teacher? The Bible teacher must be awakened. The Bible teacher must be an example. And someone's going to say, well, I don't want to have to do that. Then you're going to miss out on everything God has for you. Why don't you win? Please the Lord. Jump right in. Ask God to help you. Be the example. You're needed. You're needed. You young men who sit here and listen, and you young women who sit here and listen, God bless you. I'm so thankful to God and so grateful to God for you. But some of you are just 13, 14 years old, and you can start teaching somebody the Bible. It'd be one of the most wonderful things you've ever done in your life and ever will do. What about meeting Jesus someday when you're 50 or 60 years old and say, I've taught the Bible for 40 or 50 or 60 years? The Bible teacher. The third thing, then the Bible teacher must be a student of the Word. I really thought, I laughed because I really did, I thought this. I thought I could build a library and study, and I'd build a reservoir of knowledge, and someday I wouldn't have to study anymore. Just draw from that. I'm saying things to you now that I've studied most recently because God has brought me to this. We move from the known to the unknown. But let me give you a verse and elaborate on it just a little bit. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then he talks about what to shun. He gives examples of people who have wrecked their lives. But we must remain students of the word. Now, I don't know how your mind functions exactly, or I don't know how mine functions exactly, but the fact is we all have cognitive processes that get in gear, and we learn things a certain way. Some of us are more visual than others. But I attach what I've learned to what I already know. For instance, if somebody said the name of Joshua, I know that Joshua was a tribe of Ephraim. I know that Ephraim was the son of Joseph. I know Joseph was the son of Jacob, and I know something about Joseph's life, Jacob's life, and Ephraim's life, and you see what I mean? And Joshua's life. In other words, I'd attach one thing to another. That's just the way I learn things. I find somewhere or another, maybe that's what we all do. What we learn about the Bible, we attach it to something. One of the great Bible teachers of the past said, what we need to know is like lots of beautiful truths lying on the ground as you search the Scriptures, and you pick them up and put them together. Oh, and there are many Bible hermeneutical things, Bible principles that we could learn. Don't be bound up by somebody's ideas. Don't be bound up at all by their ideas, but there are certain Bible principles and things we can do in our study and learning. God wrote the Bible to us in books. There's 66 books. Every book of the Bible has some message to us about God. So what does Obadiah say about God? What does Jude say about God? What's the book of Lamentations say about God? It's like a puzzle of 66 pieces. It takes all pieces of the puzzle to put the puzzle together. And so the Bible would be incomplete without one of those 66 books. So there's something about God God wants us distinctly to know from each book of the Bible about God. Think of that. I think it's wonderful to study the Bible by books. James M. Gray, who's now in heaven kicking up gold dust, was a great Bible teacher and the president of Moody Bible Institute years ago. Somebody's just reprinted his book on how to master the English Bible. Maybe you don't like the title. You couldn't master the English Bible. But it's a wonderful book. And somebody's going to be foolish enough to say, well, it says something in there that doesn't say about the authorized King James Version of the Bible. Look, if you don't like that, just push it over to the side, learn what you can, and stay in your English Bible. That's fine. I'm not going to pick him to pieces. But there's things great people have done to help us be students of the Bible. But I'll tell you this.